Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Blizzard Watch podcast. I am your host, Matt Rossi. With me this week are my fantastic co-hosts, Liz Harper and Joe Perez. And we're going to talk about stuff involving Blizzard and other possible video games we might talk about. First up, we're going to talk about Diablo 4, mainly because I've been playing a lot of it. Not as much as I want to, but a fair chunk. I'm on record as actually liking Season 3 the most of any season that Diablo 4 has had since it came out. I really do like this season. But one thing I have not yet are the gauntlets and leaderboards, which went live, I think today. Didn't they? There was a patch and everything.
Yeah. There was a big mid-season patch today. And yes, now we have leaderboards and these new gauntlet dungeons.
Yeah, quite frankly, I was actually thinking about this today as I was running. I was doing a Hellfire Rift. Mm-hmm. But the daily, the Tree of Whispers quests for fighting the Herald of Malthus and all that stuff was inside the zone with the Hellfire Rift. So I was doing my Tree of Whispers stuff while I was doing a Hellfire Rift, and I was killing a Herald of Malthus and Malthus at the same time. And then the Legion event popped, and it was like right next to the Hellfire Rift. So I just went over there and did that real fast, and then came back, and the rift was still up. And I'm sitting there going, did we need another kind of dungeon in this game? Did we need, like, I feel like I've got lots of content is what I'm saying, but a lot of people did want it. And so,
you know, we thrive on variety. So it is interesting to have more and new challenges in these games, especially as you get into the end game, when content does sometimes feel kind of samey. It's like, okay, I'm going to run another nightmare dungeon. Oh, I'm going to kill Vershawn again. Oh, I finally killed Vershawn enough that I have the materials to summon Duriel, who I can kill again. You know, that it has specific gameplay loop, and you do it over and over and over and over and over.
I don't disagree. I'm enjoying it this season, but yes, it can absolutely, it can get to feeling like, what is even time? Like, I sat down in June of last year, and now it's March of next year, and well, I'm so old and withered, and I've just killed Duriel again. Why is Duriel still here? Yeah, it kind of feels like Finnegan's Wake, but with Duriel. So Finnegan's Wake. I'm not a big fan of James Joyce. I'm sorry, but yeah. So what do we do? How does this work compared to previous leaderboards and previous Diablo games? I'd say what's the real difference?
In this case, you know, Diablo 2, it was kind of a pretty straightforward race to the top. Okay, I'm the first necromancer to reach max level and so forth. In Diablo 3 had its challenge rifts where
you had to play like a specific loadout and a specific...
Yeah, you had a specific loadout and you were trying to clear a specific dungeon and, you know, everyone did the same thing. In Diablo 4 with the gauntlet system, gauntlets feel a little bit like a challenge rift because every week there's a new gauntlet and the gauntlet's the same for everyone. Everyone has the exact same gauntlet to go and play, and you're going in looking to get the highest possible score, and the top 1,000 in each category get onto the leaderboards for the week. Now that is, there's leaderboards for each class, there's leaderboards for each group size, there are leaderboards for hardcore players and standard players. All of this is seasonal realm only, so it's, you know, you're kind of doing a race to the top thing, but at the end of that race, you're running gauntlets every week. And if you do real, 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 real well, you can get immortalized in the Hall of the Ancients, which is a kind of a leaderboard of leaderboards that does not reset every week, because otherwise it's every week, a new gauntlet, which it sounds fun, but it adds to Diablo's repetitive gameplay loop where, okay, I done this gauntlet. Now I'm going to do another gauntlet. Now I'm going to do, it's another gauntlet, but at the same, it's going to depend on what the gauntlets are like, right? Mm-hmm. Because in season 3, we've been doing vaults, which vaults feel are the new dungeon type for season 3, and they're full of traps and things. They feel extremely samey. Like, you run a vault, and then you kind of know what every vault is like.
Yeah, it just comes down to what this particular one's layout is. And if you've run it enough times, like the one of ink, the vault of ink, I can do that one blindfold. Which, yeah, I mean, quite frankly, I usually do things sort of blindfolded because, you know, one eye doesn't work. But yeah, it's once you know the layout of the vaults, because the vaults, they have a set layout. You know, it's not procedurally generated or anything. It's a set layout. Yeah. So once you know that layout, you beeline for the end, you know, because you're trying to keep as many stacks of Kool's, Kool's warding on you as you can. And it's there's some stuff to it that's interesting, but yeah, I get what you're saying. It absolutely can be pretty samey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Like the big challenge in Gauntlets, so you're trying to get your high score, but the dungeon is non-linear. Your gauntlets aren't linear. So it's like maybe you go in and there's a boss right through the front door. Well, you can spend the time and fight that boss, or you can say, nah, I'm going to get more points by going this way and fighting a bunch of tiny mobs, and I'll go to that instead. So you're kind of planning your route through the dungeon to you're trying to kill the most creatures. You are trying to collect keys, which can open chests. And then you're trying to, like, run to the appropriate chests so you can open them. And they're on a 10-minute timer. So that's how long you have to finish this whole thing. There are also shrines in Gauntlets that will do unique things. Like, you could hit a shrine and it can reset the whole dungeon. So you could plan your route to, like, clear everything out, and then you hit that reset shrine, and then you go back and do it again, and you're just racking up points to get that high score.
I'm nodding and saying cool. People can't tell you're doing that, Matt. You have to actually, first off, you got to push the button so they can hear you say cool. And the nodding, there's just, you need a camera. You don't have a camera. You're not streaming your own face. So yeah, I do think it's interesting that you can technically do these things before level 100.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't suggest it based on what I know about balancing so far. I tried to do the level 70 torment mode unlock dungeon at level 60, and I got pretty close. I got pretty close, but the last fight with the Vision of Elias or whatever it's called was a nightmare because he just put stuff on the ground that did so much damage that you died before you could react to it. So I had to have better gear to even consider fighting it. And so I got it through it, I think, at level 68.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was 68. I got through it. I'm 70. I think I'm 78 now. Yeah, I'm 78 now. So yeah, at level 68, I managed to get through it and started doing Torment. And the first couple levels of Torment at 60, 68, 69 were not fun for very similar reasons. Everything hit really hard. But luckily, I saved up materials so I could do the whole thing where you put legendary affixes on the first ancestral gear you get, basically, because it's going to be such a massive upgrade, it doesn't matter. You just take that yellow piece and you slap a legendary affix on it and you're good to go. But yeah, I am interested to see the gauntlets. I do want to go there. I am going to wait till level 100, though. I'm not even going to try until I'm, like, at least 95 with really solid gear, because it's just... you're just throwing yourself into a wood chipper at some points, you know. It just, there's no point to making yourself like stressed out trying to do it. It's not set up for you to do it. I'm pretty sure they said it's designed. The article that you linked, which is on Blizzard Watch, by the way, we do have articles, you can read them. The article you linked mentions that it is possible, but is definitely designed for level 100 and pretty solid gear. So
yeah,
keep that in mind if you're trying this.
I believe everything is scaled to level, oh gosh, is it 124? It's something over level 100 that everything inside is scaled for. So if you're under level, you're probably going to have some challenges. And also, if you're competing for the leaderboards, you're competing with players who are at level 100 and who have gear. So you want to do as best as you can. There's not like a penalty for trying a gauntlet and doing very badly, but to really compete and have a good chance at hitting the leaderboards, you probably want to be a little higher level.
And this is just on Seasonal Realms?
It's just on Seasonal Realms. One of the things that I feel is a little weird about the leaderboards is that you have to be level 100 or close to level 100 to have even a chance of getting on them. And so, like, in Diablo 2, it's you're racing to the top. In Diablo 3, it's really a kind of anyone can participate in challenge rifts because you don't need anything. You just use a pre-created character to finish this week's challenge. But in Diablo 4, you need to play on the Seasonal Realm, which resets pretty strictly on a 3-month basis. You need to have a seasonal character who has reached level 100 and geared up, which is a big time commitment to do in 3 months. I think back to when Diablo 4 was launching, the developers were all bragging like, oh, it's going to take 100 hours to reach max level. And, you know, like, their game is so great and so hardcore, it's going to take you all of these hours to hit max level. And now they have boosted experience gains. So leveling is a lot faster than it was when the game launched. It feels a lot smoother, maybe not perfect, but smoother. But it still takes a long time to get to level 100. And we're being asked to do that.
It depends on how much you can, it depends on how much you can play too. Yeah.
So we're being asked to do this grind from scratch every 3 months and gear up a new character to participate in these gauntlets. And it feels like a lot to me. It feels like a big ask. You know, there are hardcore gamers who are going to be really into it. And I think about it and I'm like, I would love to try this, but I don't have a character that's capable of doing it. And if I wait another, 6 weeks, then the season is going to be over and I'm going to be starting from level one again, doing this from scratch. And that's even worse. So it seems like really interesting content, but I don't think it's content that's very accessible to your average gamer, or at least not to me.
I've been playing it pretty, for me, like an hour or two a night, every night, as much as I can handle. Like, quite frankly, I can't do more than that. And I'm only level 78.
Yeah.
So, and I don't feel like I've been taking a long time, because I didn't start immediately when the season started. I gave myself a week or two before I jumped in. But still, let's say a solid two, I think we're in the third week now, and I'm still not level 100. And so there's a slowdown. When you get up to when you start hitting torment level, there is a slowdown. It's still there. It's much better than it was, but it's still there. It's still noticeable. It's like you go from popping through levels, like 2-3 levels, to, you know, if you play really hard, I can get to 79. And some of it is fixed by, like, if you can find a place where they're farming heralds and just sit there as people go through that thing over and over again and summon another herald, then you can get a whole level like in like half an hour.
Oh, easy. Like,
but that's only if you have the materials to do the summon over and over again. And I don't always have that many elemental cores on me. They just, in order to get them, you have to go hit the obelisk. There's a lot to it. So yeah, I can see what you're saying. But while we're talking about Diablo 4, we should now talk about the fact that a lot of people really liked Season 2, the Season of Blood. And whilst I am not one of those people, I do know that I like more powers for my gear. And this week, in fact, I think it's live right now, isn't it?
Right now, yes.
Because, I know it is because I've got two of them. They've brought some of the powers, the 6 popular vampiric powers they brought back. They've brought them back this time as legendary affixes. Instead of just having those powers because you're a vampire, you now have them on your gear. You can choose to have them. but that means you won't get other certain kinds of abilities will not be available. It's a trade-off.
It's the whole legendary min-maxing game. Which legendary affixes can you use? Which can you fit into your gear?
Which one are you willing to give up to play around with this thing?
Exactly.
I actually gave up. I got two of them. Like, I actually had two items drop with these new affixes today, because I was doing that whole thing where you kill the Herald over and over again. And so what I got was, I believe it's called Accursed Touch here. It doesn't say that on the tooltip when you're looking at it, but damaging an enemy with a basic skill grants you 4% attack speed for 10 seconds, stacking up to 5 times. Upon reaching maximum stacks, you enter a vampiric blood rage, getting 52% of basic skill damage and 15% movement speed for 10 seconds. So that's the first one I have, which goes really well with the amulet I have, because that also increases the stack and attack speeds of my attacks. So basically, I'm swinging weapons constantly. I'm nuts. But the one I really find interesting, though, is this one, which I think is, I think this is the Accursed Touch one. Lucky hit, up to a 30.5% chance for your skills to inflict the vampiric curse on enemies. Enemies afflicted with vampiric curse are also vulnerable. Vampiric curse stored souls deal 41% increased damage. And so you're putting that curse on people, and you're attacking faster, and you eventually go into a vampiric blood frenzy, and it is surprisingly fun now that I don't have to worry about powering this up. Like, the mechanic I didn't like was powering up stuff, and while it's not as bad for me for the little robot, because once you've put stuff in your robot that you like, you don't have to do anything. Just wait for pieces to drop that increase the power of the stuff you have in your little robot. You don't have to take it out and put it back in. You just, new pieces drop, so those things all went up one. Like, I've got legendary pieces. I've got two legendary powers, and they've got legendary tuning stones amping them up, and they're all, like, level 4 or 5 just from doing all these, you know, bosses over and over. Because the Herald of Malthus just drops stones like it's, you know, he's made of stones. As far as I know, maybe he is. But the vampiric powers are really good in this context. Like, I think it's good to have them this way, because you get to keep, like, playing with that style of play if you liked it. Like, when you get one of these legendary affixes, you can keep playing that style. Undying, for instance, I don't know if you've looked at what they've got, but the one that really gets me is Undying. When you cast a skill, you heal for, you know, a certain amount of percent life, double this bonus while below 50% life. And it's really good if you want to stay up. Like, if you're making a build about not dying, it's extremely good. I really enjoy that one. The Cloud of Bats one too is nice.
Yeah. Metamorphosis, I think, was a real kind of fan favorite there. And I certainly have missed that one a lot.
Yeah.
Three. For those of you who don't know this one by name, it's when you evade, you turn into a cloud of bats, becoming unstoppable for 2.5 seconds. And it's like, what's better than hitting the evade button and turning into an invulnerable cloud of bats? There's nothing better in life.
Doing like 13,789 physical damage and inflicting vampiric curse when you do it. So it turns evade into not just a, ooh, it's going to hit me button. It also makes it an attack. Mm-hmm. And as a result, it increases your evade cooldown. So your evade takes longer to come back off.
The bad thing about this as a new legendary affix instead of as a cool vampire power is that they have added the fact that it increases evade's cooldown.
Yeah, that's not
pretty original. Significantly, but still worth it to become an unstoppable cloud of bats.
Yeah, really. I mean, it's it's pretty strong. Even with that, it's pretty strong. The one I really like, Moonrise, that's the one that's on my ring. I think it's really, really good. I haven't gotten Hectic yet. I haven't found Hectic. I don't have Metamorphosis. I did get Metamorphosis, but I disenchanted it before I realized what I was doing. So that was a mistake.
I've been there and done that. Very sad. Very sad.
Yeah. I'm also noticing, I don't know if they've made any notes about this, but I've been noticing a lot more weird uniques dropping. Like, I don't know if they've just buffed unique rates recently. Have either of you heard anything about that?
I have heard people saying that they think that they upped the rates. I don't think they've released anything definitive, though. But anecdotally, many more people that I know that are playing have mentioned it lately.
Yeah, like I had no uniques. Today's Tuesday, right? I had no uniques on Sunday. I have 4 uniques today, and there's a couple in the bank. I've got some I'm not even using because, like, I got 2 pairs of unique boots, and I wanted to wear the pair of unique boots that freezes things when I run on them, because that's just weird, and I want to see it. But yeah, it's like I got these gloves, Fists of Fate, they're called, where their unique power is your attacks randomly deal 1% to 250% of their normal damage. I don't know if that means I my attack goes down to 1% or if I just get an extra 1% on the top, but I know when it does the 250% because stuff explodes, you know? Like, you're doing your normal stuff, mm-hmm. and then you suddenly one attack that normally wouldn't do much of anything. Like, I'll get another frenzy off to get my frenzy up, and the guy explodes. I killed a world boss with this. I killed the Herald of Malthus with it. Like, just hit him with this. I just, like, hit him with a rock. Boom, he exploded. I'm like, oh, okay. Thank you, gloves. Yeah, and then there's the freezy boots, and then there's my necklace, which increases frenzy's maximum stacks by 2. When you have maximum frenzy, your other skills gain 44% increased attack speed, which is so great with the ring. So I'm getting to my vampiric blood rage, and I get it just constantly. I'm constantly vampirically blood raging. I'm just like, ah, I'm a vampire again. Ah, we're doing the robot season. I don't care. I want your blood. I don't have any blood. I'm a robot. Give me your blood. The best part about this is that I'm waving my hands around like I'm actually hitting a robot. You can't see it. You don't know. I'm very active.
Use your imagination. It's for the audience at home needs to use their imagination and imagine us running around.
I hope that these stick around. Like, are these just for the season, or are we going to just, are they just added?
I assume they're going to stick around because when they did the patch that added the rings that mm-hmm. brought back malignant powers from season 1, those have stuck around. You can still get those.
Oh yeah. I assume that all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. So I assume these new powers, these new legendary aspects are going to stick around in the game long term. So yeah.
Yeah. And unrelated to that, but I just realized that apparently now I can get a hat with a feather in it for my barbarian. I don't know when I gained this look, but my God, it's dapper. She's got a big feather in her, actually multiple feathers. There's like 3 in there. So I got that now. I didn't know that I had that. That's probably from the season, right?
I'm not sure.
That's probably from this. It doesn't feel, I mean, the season journey. I mean, it doesn't feel like, you know, a drop you get from a robot.
You never know.
Never know if there's a dapper robot out there you just killed. I feel bad that I killed the dapper robot.
All the other robots I don't feel bad about killing. But dapper robot, the one that wore this adorable hat?
Unfortunately, if you don't want to die, having a really nice hat is the worst thing to do in this game, man. Because I will kill you over and over again for that hat. I don't care. If there's any chance you're going to drop the hat, I'm going to be there with an axe looking.
That is true for every MMO, every game.
And it should
be. You will do terrible things for a stylish hat. Terrible things.
But we should probably now move on to other games because we do have other games to talk about. As much as I would, and since we're talking about transmog anyway, let's segue directly into the March trading post for World of Warcraft.
Transmog.
I'm sorry. Right now, there's an umbrella. Guys, there's an umbrella. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is an umbrella, and I have to keep making that point. So yeah, there's an umbrella. There's also a really cool the Alabaster Thunderwing mount. Have you seen this thing? It's like this cool, like, almost stone-like, like the Horde one, the Manticore looking thing, the Wyvern, they call them, even though it's not even remotely a Wyvern. It's really neat. I really like it. It's the first time I've ever been envious of a Horde mount. Oh, that's not true. I also get really envious of the War mounts. The War mounts are cool, but yeah, it's really nice. I am a fan of this thing.
So Joe,
no one's talking, so I'm afraid I've just lost my attention.
I'm going to try and get Joe to say something here because we keep talking and talking because we're talking about transmog and Diablo and these.
Well, I mean, Diablo is fine. I haven't been playing because, we'll get to it eventually. But, here's a good point. I've been just playing a lot of WoW lately, leveling alts. So I've been trying to gather all of my attendees for the month. through leveling with my alt, so I can afford some of these really cool transmogs. Like, I don't know about you, but I want the Sky Captain's formal attire. I think that's going to look absolutely hysterical on half the characters I have. I need it. I need it so badly. I need that hat.
Yes.
I'm just absolutely in love with it. Like, this month's trading post is actually pretty stacked as far as just things in general.
Am I the only one who looks at that hat and thinks it looks like a luchador to become a pirate?
Yes. Why do you think I need it, Matt?
That's what I was. I just figured I'd throw that out there for people because, you know, it's a podcast, so they can't see it. So, you know, sometimes you have to tell them.
Yeah. The Sky Captain's former tire costs 800 traders tender. So that's a pretty high price to begin with. But it's a very dashing looking suit with a blue jacket and silver trim and this kind of weird luchador pirate hat. Because why not? Because why not? That's a thing we can do. So let's do it.
Also,
my biggest concern about this outfit is that that's an unusual shade of blue, and I'm not sure what it would match. So that's always my concern because nothing, it probably matches nothing.
Listen, we just go back to our roots. We go back to our Burning Crusade roots, and we wear the clown suit. Uh-huh. We embrace the clown suit.
embrace the rainbow. That's true. Sometimes that's all you can do.
You know what it will
true
match?
Story.
Oh, go ahead.
True story. Do you know what my elf warrior was called in raids back in Classic? Skittles.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
They literally called me Skittles, and they called me Skittles because half the time I was raiding in a mix-up of Blackwing Lair and Encourage 40 gear. Encourage 40 gear has a lot of pastels.
Yes, it does.
And the warrior set is kind of a reddish-purple. It seriously looked like I was about to go on tour with the village people half the time. To the point where people actually someone made young men, you know, the song YMCA. It was fun to say at the YMCA. Mm-hmm. Someone made a soundboard of that song for our raid. Whenever we'd get up to the Twin Imps, they would start playing Young Men. It's like, oh God, here we go. That's the signal to pull the Twin Imps. The warlock would go out and throw his shadow bolts at that one of them. And that would just be the start of the pull. And meanwhile, there I am. I'm in puce. I'm in, like, you know, chartreuse and, like, yeah. Ugh. So, yes, I remember clown suits all too well. I love this arsenal, though. The Skyborn blade. Have you seen this thing? The
yes.
Skyborn blades.
Yep.
It's just so nice. These are so nice.
There's more shoulder capes now, which I think is really, really cool. More colors. So you have the aquatic and the cloudy one, which I think are white and the blue, respectively. There is a new tabard, which is the aquatic tabard with that bluish green color. You have more sarongs, which we've been asking for, in the different colorways as well. A crown of the lost crown of the arcane. So if you are looking for, and I think this was the mage tier at some point. So if you're looking for that, it is a cosmetic that you can use on any of your characters, it looks like, which is really, really fun. There's just a lot of really good stuff. Like I know since I'm leveling a warrior now, which I know Matt's heart is probably a little happy with this, and I've been having a blast as my night elf warrior. I'm going to be getting those Arsenal Skyborn blades because yes, I need them. must transmog into to beautiful, beautiful swords.
Yeah, and there's other stuff too. There's some stuff that's actually Hyjal themed.
Yeah.
There's there's a sword. There's a couple, actually a couple swords. I think Mephistroth's blades, which look an awful lot like the original Burning Crusade ones. There's a Catastrophe's Edge, which looks like the revised ones from Warlords of Draenor.
I love the flavor, because these all have flavor text, by the way. All of them have flavor text.
Of course.
Catastrophe's Edge says, warning, don't wield if you're having a bad day.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It does absolutely say that. Mephistroth's Razor is just what is needed when cutting things a little close. So, yeah, there's a lot of really interesting stuff. A lot of the arsenals are really good. The last Crown of the Arcane, Lost Crown of the Arcane is another, I think, a pretty spiffy model, quite frankly. It's kind of like a fiery thing, but not. There's a lot of this stuff. They're really kind of hitting it out of the park lately with the don't want to say Trader's Tender, but that's not what it's called. It's called a Trading Post.
Trading Post. Yeah, close.
Brain was like, that's the currency, Matt.
So, yeah. No, the currency is tendies.
Of course, the reward for finishing the Trading Post this month is an adorable mouse.
Tilly.
Who does not want an adorable, slightly glowing blue mouse? I mean, that's probably maybe not healthy to be glowing blue, but...
Listen, it's an arcane mouse. It's fine to glow, right? Like, it's okay. This is acceptable.
Yeah, you only have to be worried about things that glow like that if we're in a Fallout game.
Yes.
Then it's bad. Okay, you know it's bad when it's glowing blue in Fallout. You've gone well beyond the point where things should be. But in WoW, it's fine. Glowing is usually okay.
So this is a battle pet, not a mount. When I first saw it, I'm like, is this a mouse mount that flies? But it's not. It's not. Don't make that mistake, because you will be disappointed like I was. No, it's just a pet. It's an adorable mouse.
He's a cute little mouse, yes.
He's a cute little mousey.
But there's the delicate jade parasol, which we've already mentioned. There is an umbrella, guys. I think it's got some kind of like safe fall thing too. Yeah, it says allows you to safely float down the next time you fall.
This is the parasol from Shadowlands that people got, just in a different form. So now everybody can have it.
And there are so many great things in this month's Trading Post that none of us have even mentioned the fact that you can get a flying peacock mount.
It's a return, isn't it?
It's a peacock.
The peafowl.
Well,
the reigns of the majestic azure peafowl, which is weird.
It's a peacock.
It should be called a peacock for the simple reason that peafowls aren't colorful. Like, only the males, only the peacocks are colorful. The ladies are like, I don't have to be colorful. You got to be colorful. Dress up for me, boy. And the peacock was like, oh, I'll dress up. And then it shows up like that. And they're like, wah!
And I will say this. The screenshots of it do not do justice to how pretty that mount is in-game. Like, it is very well done. It is very gorgeous. I really like it a lot.
It's so colorful. So many colors.
I like pretty colorful things. I am a child in that regard. The brighter, the more colorful it is, the happier I am.
Yeah, if this thing was raiding in Burning Crusade, you would definitely be calling it Skittles.
Though the only thing I will say is that this Sky Captain's attire that we're all kind of swooning over, it is a little monochromatic. I mean, it's blue and white with silver trim. It's very...
look real good when you're on that peafowl, though.
Well, that's true. I mean, anything would look good in that case. So, but it's a starting point. It's a blank canvas of blue and white on which to make your mark.
Yeah, I think that's all of the items. Yeah.
I'm hitting buttons that aren't the right buttons. So, I was just gushing over the Blackrock Executioner, which is a model that we saw in again. It was at the end of Warlords of Draenor, and it's back, and it's really cool looking. There's a lot of really nice weapon models. If, like me, you like to collect weapon models, there's quite a bit to recommend it. The Virulent, I can never figure out how to say Virulent. Virulent. Yeah, I always want to do it the other way around. Virulent. It's Virulent. But that gavel is a nice one that we saw again in the last raid in Warlords. There's a lot of really nice stuff here. The Corroded Augari Defender. If you've been trying to get the shields from the Hellfire Citadel raid to drop and they won't drop, there you go. You can get them now. You can just buy them. I have a friend who's run that, who ran that dungeon, that raid, like repeatedly over the course of the past few years and still hasn't gotten the shield. So I'm sure he'll be very happy. He doesn't have to do that. A shout out to you, Matt, unless you're not the one I'm thinking of. Yeah. Blackrock Executioner. Awesome. The flowing aquatic gloves though, those are also very nice. They're like the up tier, almost armpits gloves.
Oh yeah, the opera gloves. I love. I have picked up opera gloves in every possible color because they make some interesting transmog looks.
Well, you got a nice kind of this tea blue here for these.
I'm going to be slightly a bit of a wet blanket. These are really good, but I think we should move along. We have a little bit more to cover before we're out of time. Like, I highly encourage people to go and look at the transmogs available because they are absolutely gorgeous.
Indeed.
But we should probably move on to the next topics.
No. Anyway, no, I'm kidding.
That's the problem, is that we could do a whole...
We could do a whole thing of transmog, yes.
And
but we should at least mention this one, because we've been talking about it a lot, actually. Classic hardcore solo self-found mode is now live. Mm-hmm. If you've been playing on the hardcore servers for WoW Classic, and you've wanted to check out what the solo self-found mode was like, it's been live since the 29th of February. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the anniversary for it's going to be really hard to do in a few years. but yeah, it's kind of like, basically it's saying, look, we think it's too easy if you can like have a character on this server who can then send gear to you earlier, or to have friends who can help you. We don't want that. So we're going to make it so you can't trade gear. You can still do dungeons and stuff, but your gear is all limited to you. It's kind of like making it more like a solo Diablo game, really. In that you just, it's none of that. Can you go to the auction house?
No.
So yeah, you can't. If you want materials, you can gather them, or can you get like, can you buy anything at the auction house, or there's just no auction house?
No, you cannot use the. So it's solo self-found characters. You make them on existing hardcore servers. It's like a checkbox. It's like playing a Diablo hardcore character. You make a checkbox at character creation.
So the itch is still there, but they just can't use it.
Yes. So, yeah, they just don't have access to it. They don't have access to trading. They don't have access to the mailbox for most purposes. And so, yeah, you're kind of on your own here for finding gear. And my big question mark about this is bags. Think about this for a minute. Where do you get bags in this game? There are a handful of drops. There are a handful of quests. There are a handful you can purchase.
I was going to say, yeah, I think it's going to be old school. Like, you're going to have to go and find the vendors that have the best bags.
Like six slot bags. Yeah. But there are not a lot of bags out there. And the best bags in the game are made by tailors. So do you just, I mean, old school WoW had some very big storage hurdles. Just imagine being a warlock who needs one bag slot for every soul shard you're carrying.
I'm thinking about the runecloth bags. Do you remember when you started getting runecloth bags because you could make them? And you were like, oh my god, everyone send me your runecloth. And you would just churn those things out. And they were like 14 slot maybe. And everyone was like, oh god, runecloth bags. And now you can't do that. No one can make bags for you.
So either you're a tailor or you're leaning into these smaller bags that you can get from quests or drops or vendors. So that actually sounds like the most challenging part of this game. I mean, it's up there.
Yeah, absolutely. It is.
Hardcore is no walk in the park in the first place, but hardcore, but also you don't have bag space. Come on, man. Come on.
Hearthstones take an hour. You don't get a mount until like level 40, right?
That is correct.
So yeah, and now you've got like, you know, you're rocking a bunch of 8-slot bags at level 50, and you haven't quite stored up enough money yet to get a mount because you have to constantly hearth and then run all the way back because there's no way. The Hearthstone takes an hour. You can't pop around the world. Yeah, man,
it's a hard life.
Yeah, I think that the mages are going to be more popular than you might expect because it can. You can still group with people, right? So you could use Mage Portal.
You can still group with people. And I actually went and checked. I talked to Nick, our resident classic expert. So solo self-found players can use Mage Portals. But, you know, kind of it's sort of polite to tip your mage, you know? And they cannot do that because they cannot trade.
Yeah, I assumed it would be like for a group of people. Like if you had a friend who was playing, you could still group up and you could use their portals that way. But you're right in that, you know, you can't trade or anything like that. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if you can impose on the kindness of strangers and you find strangers who are, in fact, kind and willing to do this for you, you can use mage portals.
Man. Okay. Because I'm now mindful of Joe's pronouncement, we're going to now move on to the next thing, which is that Classic Season of Discovery has got its new XP buff. It's now live for everybody, right? That was the thing that changed they made last week.
Yeah, they announced this last week that the Discoverer's Delight buff, which previously gave a 50% increased XP up to level
25,
which was the previous level cap. So it let you kind of catch up to the baseline for the latest phase of Season of Discovery. But now it's plus 100% experience, and it's up to level 40. So
if you have not been playing the Season of Discovery, now is the time, because you can now get up to this level faster.
So, experience is doubled. The cost of mounts has been cut in half. The amount of gold you get from questing has been significantly increased. So you are leveling faster, you are earning more gold, and you may actually be able to buy a mount when you hit level 40, which is
wild.
Crazy.
That is wild.
That's the craziest thing I've... Season of Discovery has made a lot of changes to WoW Classic, but that is the craziest one yet. And it went live today. Now, there was one thing that I was hearing from players, and I'd like to get y'all's opinion on it, was that some players were kind of salty because Blizzard announced this last week, but it only went live today. And they're like, well, now we don't want to play. Now we don't want to play because it'd be wasting our time because the XP buff. You told us about this XP buff, but now we don't want to play. I mean, is it better for Blizzard to pre-announce these things or to spring them on you? Because it feels like players are going to be disappointed either way.
Yes, but I'm trying to find a nice way to say this. I'm trying. I'm failing, but I'm trying. I feel like if they're going to be like, you know, people are going to be mad if they announce, and people are going to be mad if you spring it on them, they might as well announce and at least get the people who aren't going to be mad that they announced excited, rather than have nobody be excited and then some people be excited when they find out. And the people are like, why didn't they tell us they were doing this? I wasted all my time last week playing. Mm-hmm. Like you were going to complain that you wasted all your time playing either way. Either you're like, I don't want to play now, I don't want to waste my time. Or next week you'd be mad because you wasted your time. And either way, you were going to be mad. So you might as well be mad, but not surprised, if that makes sense, in mm-hmm. my opinion. And quite frankly, I feel like that's a silly complaint, because you will have had the previous week's worth of XP, however much it was, and then you can play another character if you want, or do something else to get to make use of that experience, same as everybody else. Plus, you got a week of getting to play a game, because it's a game. We're playing a game. Do you guys, like, if you were playing checkers and someone suggested we could play Monopoly tomorrow, you wouldn't throw your checkers board up in the air and go, God, now I don't even want to play Monopoly, man. Who even wants to play checkers now? It's like, it's a game. We're playing it for fun. Please calm down. So, yeah, that's me. That's me trying to be nice. I know I didn't quite make it, but I tried.
I do kind of get it that you get game companies always building the hype cycle. So it's never, you know, excitement for what's going on today. It's always hype for what's happening tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you get that constant cycle. I don't really feel like this is an example of it. It's good to have that pre-notification that, okay, next week this is happening, so you can plan on it. Like, maybe I was planning on spending a lot of time playing Classic this weekend, and I can go, oh, but, you know, I only have a limited amount of time to play games. All of us are in that situation where there's so many things to do, so many games to play, that we can't play them. And now we can say, I can do something else this weekend, and next weekend I can play Classic and get double the experience.
Yeah, exactly. It's nice to know what's going on, in my opinion. I can understand people not wanting to feel like they're wasting their time, but at the end of the day, it's a game. And I feel like, you know, if it's wasting your time to play it, you shouldn't be playing it. Like, if I feel like I'm wasting my time playing Diablo, like today, when a quest wouldn't complete due to a bug, I stopped playing rather than hammer myself against that bug. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes things happen, and it's best to just don't frustrate yourself, you know? That's just me, though. Joe has not been speaking a lot, so.
You guys have hit everything on that. I don't really have anything else to add to it, so.
All right, Warcraft Rumble. Season 4 starts tomorrow as we're recording this, which means it will have started this week. We're going to have the new Witch Doctor mini, Is that what that figure was?
That was. We had the teaser last week, and that turns out to have been a witch doctor, which is, we're going kind of back in time here with an old Warcraft RTS callback with the witch doctor, I believe. Mm-hmm. It's been a really, really long time since I played the RTS, like so long. But that's joining the game. But one of the interesting things I think coming with this season is that they're boosting the amount of... they're kind of boosting the rewards you can get from doing daily quests. And if you've played Rumble very much, if you've kept playing Rumble through these seasons, you know it takes a lot of time to level your little minis. It takes lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of time to level them up. And they've just opened it up to where daily rewards can now have a chance to give you large amounts of coins, mega tomes, and very rarely a mythic tome. Now, the mythic tomes are something that, to the best of my knowledge, you could previously only buy with real money. So they are a huge experience boost to, again, I believe 11 of your units. They just, it's an experience bomb. And in a game where it is so hard to level, it takes so much time to level up your whole army of minions. That's a pretty big deal. I don't think these changes are enough to make it like easy to level, to make it feel like it's easy to level, because up at those top levels, the experience curve is very bad. It's very bad. You know, like max levels, it's like, oh, you need like 100,000 experience, 200,000 experience. And that's not a small amount of experience in this game. So maybe it's going to be a little easier to level. Maybe these are still going to be super rare and you won't feel it at all, but anything they can do to make the game leveling faster, a little easier, a little smoother, so you can make more consistent progress is good. So it's good. Also, witch doctor. You can grab your own witch doctor.
But don't grab them in the wrong place.
Yeah, consent. They get mad. Consent, people.
They get real mad when you don't want that. Okay. Since we didn't mention that, Liz, you had a thing here about the Merchants of Rosewall game coming out from Big Blue Sky, which is one of those companies that seems to have founded when every time Activision decides to lay people off, we end up with a lot of really talented people making another game company.
Yeah, I don't know. This got linked in Blizzard Watch Discord this afternoon. And I don't know if either of y'all watched the trailer, but Big Blue Sky Games mm-hmm. is... like you said, it's a company kind of, there's some ex-Blizzard people. There are a lot of...
And a former Blizzard Watch person.
Yes, indeed. And what I find really interesting about the studio, I'll talk about the game in a second, but what I find interesting about the studio is you go to their webpage and you read, you know, what's this company about? And they talk about, you know, about how turnover and burnout is... like killing gaming, having developers who are unhappy and who are always stressed out about the next round of layoffs, that doesn't make good games. And I started reading their webpage, and this is the backlash against the huge waves of layoffs we've seen hitting gaming this year, not just this year, but we've seen a ton of them this year. No, and say, before.
Yeah, we were seeing it going back to 2018, but it's been real bad.
It's been real brutal this year. We've had thousands of people in the gaming industry laid off, and it's just the beginning of March. Mm-hmm. It's insane how many people have been laid off. So, Big Blue Sky Games, I don't know why.
I keep wanting to call it Blue Big Sky.
I keep mixing up those words. It's very difficult.
It doesn't even make sense because English has a specific order of adjectives and adverbs. You would never say blue big sky if you were talking about, like, you would never say that is a green old dragon. You'd say it's an old green dragon. Mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. I keep trying to say blue big sky, even though that's not how English works. And I know that. Oh, it's so weird. But anyway... it's a really cool looking little company. I'm not just saying that because a couple of people gave to my Kickstarter. My GoFundMe. Thank you, by the way. I saw you. But it, yeah, it does look like a really interesting thing. Like the art on the page is really nice. The idea for this game, I want you to talk about it because I just, all I know about it is really just what I read on the site. But it's a it's a fantasy. It's like kind of like Stardew Valley if you're running a potion shop or something. I'm not 100% on this.
Well, we've only gotten one trailer. It was announced today. This is the first. We knew the studio existed, that it had some ex-Blizzard folks that we know. But this is their first game that they've announced. And it's a shop owner sim set in a fantasy universe. So you are deciding what to stock on your shelves. You're finding, you're learning how to craft things and sourcing materials. And there, it looks, it has a bit, and I don't know if it's going this direction, has a bit of a visual novel vibe, at least kind of the art style and the dialogue style look that way to me. But we don't know if it's going in kind of that traditional visual novel kind of direction. But we know there's going to be some story here. We know there's going to be some kind of mysteries in Rosewall that we're going to be learning about. It's refreshing to see game developers out there making games. And we talked a little bit about this in the pre-show, where it's a game they want to make. It's ideas they're passionate about. It's not because a corporate overlord has said, oh, you know, Destiny's really popular. We need to make Destiny now.
Yeah. Looter shooters are great. Yeah. Huge market. Let's make a looter shooter. Okay. I guess we could, but it needs to be a live service looter shooter. Well, I mean, I suppose, and it should have lots of multiplayer in it. But I mean, yeah, I mean, we already have an MMO. Nope. We're going to do that. Okay. And then like 6 months later, oh, now it's got to be a survival sim. What? We've got this thing rigged. So yeah, there's this. It's so nice to see, even if it isn't, it's not necessarily a game I would play. But like Paleo Pines is a game I would never play because I don't have the patience for that kind of management. But I love that they got made. I love that there's a dinosaur, like a dinosaur riding, having friends and dinosaurs on your dinosaur farm sim. I love that it exists, that it's cute, that people can just play it and not have to worry about seeing people get blown into chum. I love violence in my video games. It doesn't mean every video game should be violent. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't, it's very sweet. And this one looks pretty nice along that way as well.
Big Blue Sky Games seems to have been founded on the, in this industry, rather audacious idea that you don't have to torture your development staff in order to make games.
Yeah.
That maybe you can have a game company with developers who are getting paid fairly, who don't have to get crunch, who aren't worried about the next round of layoffs, and maybe by doing that, by giving them good jobs and stable employment and letting them make the things they love, maybe you can make great games that way.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Without all of the stress and the heartache and the constant churn of layoffs.
If nothing else, if they're more flexible on work from home than Blizzard was, I think in the world we're in now, that's a positive step all by itself. And then the rest of it is even better.
I think a lot of the small studios that we've seen spring up from, you know, gaming layoffs over the last few years have had, you know, this is part of what has made these studios. This is what has brought these studios to life, is that you have a bunch of people who are out of work, but have passion and they have ideas and they're trying to make it happen. But, you know, it feels like Big Blue Sky Games, I read their about page and it really catalyzed for me how, you know, this is such a backlash against the traditional gaming industry and how it works, because it's become very much a corporate machine that churns out the same video game over and over, and often at the expense of employees' health and livelihoods. And maybe we don't have to do that. Maybe gaming doesn't have to do that. So I hope that Big Blue Skies and their Merchants of Rosewell game succeeds. I hope it does great. It's due out this fall. If you are into kind of cozy games, sim games, just weird, fun, interesting, new kind of games, yeah, check it out. Check it out. It's, you can wishlist it on Steam, which that's what everyone says.
Yeah. And I'm gonna go through another, because I know we have friends that are on there. If you ever want us to do beta for it, we'll be more than happy to talk about it on the show.
If the game was currently out, I could be streaming it, like, while they talk. Like, I could sit there and play it and stream it while they talk. Or we could do, like, whole streams.
And I'm not gonna lie, this is I'm really excited about this. Not just because of the people involved, but one of my favorite games of 2018 was Moonlighter, which was equal parts Zelda clone, equal parts shop simulator. But it was the shop simulator part that I liked the most, like running the shop, haggling, setting prices, doing stuff like that. It was very, very, like, I loved that portion of it. And I was like, man, I wonder what other shop sims are out there. And there's quite a few of them. But I'm always happy when more enter, because I think it's an underserved genre, and I'm really curious what their take is going to be on it. And that art does look gorgeous. And because I happen to know who's doing the story, I know it's going to be good. I'm looking at you. I see you. I'm really curious what your mind's coming up with for this. So,
And I do want to jump in here and say, we aren't just, you know, slumming for ad dollars here.
No,
I'm genuinely interested. Yes. And I'd like to do a little more coverage of other games. And I'm particularly interested in where all of our friends at Blizzard Entertainment have ended up after they got cut off. And I would love to see the things these people are continuing to make. And I love the idea that indie game studios can go out there and make games that developers are passionate about, instead of continuing to churn out the same old thing. So I'm really interested in this game. I'm really interested in the studio, but not to completely focus on them, because it's one of many new indie studios that have come up in the last few years making games that are different, that you couldn't make at an Activision Blizzard, that you couldn't make at Microsoft. So I am waiting to check this one out.
Okay, I am going to, however, throw us into one question before we go, because we're getting pretty close to end time.
Oh my gosh, where did the hour go? Yeah, how does this keep happening?
Someone mentioned Transmog.
Yeah.
So now, Lefty, question for the Q writers. This isn't the Q writers, but whatever. What Transmog would you totally wear in real life? Joe.
The Hour Runner's male gear. You can look it up later.
Oh yeah. Okay.
110%. You guys, Liz, what would you? What about you?
Wow, this is such a hard question. How can you ask me this? You know, I think I would go with the Blood Elf Heritage armor, which I think is a really nice look, and it was the first that I recall, the first kind of transmog that had kind of a separate, like, it has that sort of separate-ish chest piece, and it let you choose whether you're going to wear it as a dress or as pants. So you had you had some style options, even while sticking to your theme. I've been playing a Blood Elf for a long time, so I kind of have a feel for that one.
Matt?
The Battle Gear of Wrath.
With Rossi shoulders?
No, the Battle Gear of Wrath with... I wanted those shoulders because my name was on them. They're ugly. I don't want to wear them, but if they're going to be named after me, I want to own them. That's what that was. No, my favorite set, and I have quite a few sets I love, but my favorite set is the Battle Gear of Wrath because it is utterly ludicrous. It has axe blade shoulders and an axe blade hat. You are wandering around wearing three axes on your head and shoulders, and then there's spikes everywhere, and it's got a big screaming monster jaw for a belt buckle, and at least one variation of it has hot pants. Like, Joe went up with a hot pants set earlier.
100% I did.
If you look at the Battle Gear of Wrath as it's displayed in Heroes of the Storm on the, you know, Sonya, the Barbarian, it's hot pants. So she's got hot pants in the Battle Gear of Wrath. So there's even that. So it's perfect. It is the most utterly ridiculous yet completely cohesive set of gear in any MMO ever. It looks like what it is. It looks like something you would wear if your main preoccupation was shooting yourself at people across distances to ram into them and hit them with swords. I want also to be pointy and stabby. Like, I want to make this whole thing a thing. And it's even better on a gnome because the shoulders are even bigger. They're not actually bigger, but the gnome is so compact that having these giant axe blades everywhere and the huge spiky jaw and it's so ridiculous. And to me, it is every little charming thing about World of Warcraft for me. I just absolutely love this ridiculous set of armor. Runner-up is the Ymir Yar Lord because you got pig heads. Pig head shoulders. Sure, why not? Go with it.
Fair.
So yeah, that's me. And of course, Ashkandi, but that's not a transmog set. You asked about sets.
Oh, boy.
But I think that's going to have to do it. What are you guys saying, Liz?
We did get some interesting questions in this week, but we're going to have to loop back because we spent a lot of time talking about transmog.
You guys knew it was going to happen.
As is right and proper.
Yeah.
But there are some interesting ones here, so it would be nice to actually get the answers to some of them.
We will get to them next week. I will make a concerted effort.
Liz, are we doing, we're not doing the merch anymore, right? That was last month.
That was a February thing. So it's gone until next year.
If you guys really wanted the merch at times that weren't February, you could let us know. Hint, hint, we've got a Discord. You can tell us things. But while we're thinking about that and you guys are thinking about merch you could get, Joe, if you don't mind.
Blizzard Watch is made possible due to the generous contributions at patreon.com/blizzardwatch. Your continued support means that this podcast lighting community is able to thrive and grow. Blizzard Watch supporters enjoy exclusive benefits like early access to the podcast, a better chance at having your question answered on our podcast or the queue, and an ads-free site experience.
Thank you very much, Joe. Thank you to Liz for doing this week's email because I currently have eye problems. And thanks to all of you guys for being here with us. This has been the Blizzard Watch podcast. Thank you all so much, and we'll be back next week.